J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
For over 200 years, freedom of speech has been the cornerstone of American democracy. Yet there is one word that Washington doesn't want you to use, the word f**k. The politicians want you to use words like fudge or phooey. But it's not the same as having the freedom to say, hey, f**k face, go f**k yourself. Send a message to the politicians who would keep you from using f**k. Vote yes on Proposition F. Proposition F guarantees your right to say f**k you, f**k it, f**k all, and f**k A, whenever and wherever you choose. And isn't that what our f***ing forefathers f***ing fought for? This election day, vote f*** yes on Proposition F.
Paid for by the committee to make f*** an accepted part of the English language.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that boy inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
September 8th, 2021, here at jcontheline.com. I got two pieces of information for you. Number one, it will be very hard to wake up and get out of bed today. Have you found this to be true, that after a long holiday weekend or a vacation, you come back and that first day, it's hard to get up, but you do it because you've been off for, you know, a week or a couple of days, whatever the case may be, and you're sort of excited, it's sort of exhilarating, and you're used to sleeping in for the last couple of days, but you manage to do it, and that first day back to work or back to school, whatever it is, you can pull it off. It's the second day, and today is the second day. It was almost impossible to get out of bed today. And then the other thing is, the good news is that it's already hump day. It's already Wednesday. So there is some good with the bad. So this Albert Pujols thing last night was sort of weird because there were very few people in the seats when Albert made his first appearance at the plate last night. He's batting third for the Dodgers, and you know, you expect this thundering applause with Albert coming back, and it really didn't happen. I mean, he got applause, but it was about 20 seconds. I thought it was going to be a minute and 20 seconds. It was about 20 seconds long. You know, Yachty did that thing where he walks out onto the, practically in the grass between home plate and the pitcher's mound, and just sort of waits it out. And then Albert came in and hit a line drive home run. So people got their money's worth. The bad news is the Cardinals have now lost four straight. And it's not getting any easier. Alex Reyes again last night gives up a dinger. We don't seem to have an effective closer, and baseball teams that don't have an effective closer usually don't make the playoffs, and if they do, they don't last very long. How has this happened to our St. Louis Cardinals? Then again, it's even worse for Cub fans who watched half of their team traded away, and the good half, by the way, almost everybody any good got bounced out of Chicago, and you know, it could be a very long time before the Cubs are going to be a good team again. So at least with the Cardinal organization, you get the idea that in the offseason they'll do something, and Arenado and Goldschmidt are good examples of that. So I'm not going to condemn them yet. Let's see what they do in the offseason, but they better do something because this team is shot full of holes, all right? Speaking of baseball, this was the weirdest situation. It was already very surreal back in 98 watching the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire home run chase. It was already, you know, this feeling of whimsy, and you feel like you're watching not just sports history, you're watching American history. I tried to make that point all the time. So let's go back to 1998. And, you know, I came within about, I calculated, 17 feet away from getting my hands on home run number 61. We were sitting in Big Mac land with a bunch of contest winners from the radio station. And you'll recall that McGwire hit that ball off the glass of the stadium club in the old Busch Stadium. And in the Associated Press photo of the home run, and you see the ball bouncing off the glass, I'm in the shot. I was on the front page of the sports section of USA Today because I was in the front row and I was wearing a big old yellow construction hat, and I'm seen leaning over the railing. Probably not a good idea, but I was trying to watch, see where the ball went. And so I almost got my hands on that one. All right. So now it is the big one. And again, back to the Stadium Club. And I'm not even really sure how this happened, but I ended up sitting next to Chris Pronger and a couple of the other St. Louis Blues in the Stadium Club. And so we're sitting up there, we're having dinner, and we're finished with dinner, and now, and we're watching the game, and here comes McGuire, and he hits this line drive that looks like it's coming right at us in the Stadium Club. And of course, then it sinks, and then it hooks, and it disappeared right below us. So we didn't even know what happened. We had to take the word of the crowd, which sometimes can be the wrong thing because crowd gets things wrong sometimes. But the ball went right below us. We were all standing with our noses against the glass trying to get a good look at it. And the ball went right underneath us and into that little alcove that they have down the third base line down by the left field foul pole. And then the excitement was over. And then we all ended up sitting behind a home plate about 20 rows back. And I was sitting there next to Pronger. And I'm not 100% sure that he knew who I was or what I was doing there. Then again, I wasn't sure what I was doing there. Pronger was like looking at me in the corner of his eye the whole night, like, is there some sort of clerical error here? Who the hell are you? But we had a great time. We had a nice talk. He is a character. He is a real character. All of that happening on this date back in 1998. Remember when we thought Bernie Sanders was going to be the Democratic nominee for President of the United States? It sure looked like that for a very long time, where he was getting all the attention. He was getting more votes in the primaries than people thought. And for a while there, it really did look like Bernie was going to be the candidate. And even Saturday Night Live joined in on the fun.
Some of these billionaires, they got 3-4 pairs. And I don't have a dryer. I have to put my clothes on the radiator. So who do you want as president? One of these Washington insiders? Or a guy who has one pair of clean underwear that he dries on a radiator?
Oh, I don't even know.
Pretty
if Larry said it.
Hey, that was really good.
Did he even have to get into character for that? I don't think so, but
that's George Stephanopoulos and his buddies there on Good Morning America. And, of course, that wasn't Bernie Sanders. It was Larry David from Curb Your Enthusiasm doing a hell of a good Bernie Sanders imitation. Last week, I posted on Facebook the showgram with J.C. Corcoran, my Facebook page, that photograph of Monica Lewinsky. Maybe you saw it. And she has softened her look, you know, instead of that really white face and then really, really dark hair and then bright red lipstick, where she sort of looked clownish, I thought. She has softened her hair color and gone with something a little more natural and looks, and lost a bunch of weight, by the way, and looks fantastic. I put the picture up in favor, like, who is this? It's like, it's Monica Lewinsky. People couldn't even believe their eyes. Where I saw her on TV last night, she didn't look quite as good, but she still looked pretty good. She's almost 50 now. I think there's more people back on her side of things now than ever before. And they were asking her about, you know, whether or not she expects an apology from Bill Clinton. I'm sure Bill Clinton's people have said, just don't ever even say her name. Don't reference it. Don't do anything. Maybe it'll just go away if you never talk about it again. That seems to be the strategy. But all the recent publicity with Monica, you know, coming out and doing a bunch of interviews, and she was on the Today Show yesterday, everything, it piqued my curiosity enough so that last night I watched the first episode of this series, I guess it is. Was it just one movie or is it parts? I don't know. But I thought it was really weak, especially for the casting alone. Now, Sarah Paulson is a great actress. She has done a lot of movies and shows and stuff like that in TV series. Very, very talented woman. But, you know, she's wearing a fat suit and doesn't look like anything like Linda Tripp. And then the girl that got to play Monica Lewinsky doesn't even look like Monica Lewinsky. She looks Hispanic, not Jewish. The whole thing was, you know, sort of an amateurish thing, very soap opera-ish. And if there is another part to this thing, I doubt that I'm going to give it my time. You know, and I think with the passage of time, 20 years, I think a lot of people have a lot different view of the whole scandal and everything that happened. And as I said, I think people are starting to get behind her instead of Bill Clinton. And I would probably be among those in that group. But 20 years ago, when you're doing a morning radio show, you're a bunch of knuckleheads in the room. The chief knucklehead had me. We were having a hell of a good time with it.
All right, order in the court, please. Now, just tell the court honestly and completely exactly what happened.
White House loving had an affair.
Said he loved me, now we don't care.
I met an intern crazy for me.
Thought for sure he'd divorce Hillary.
Yeah. White House days drifting away to, oh, those doghouse nights.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Tell us more, tell us more. Did you tell her to lie?
Tell us more, tell us more. Did you give him the time?
Order, order, order. I'll have this court cleared. Do you hear me? Quiet!
Just a presidential caress.
Left his DNA on my dress.
She likes a good old Cuban cigar.
He talked dirty from the phone in his car.
White House days had barely begun. And now, oh, those doghouse nights.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Tell us more, tell us more. What was Linda Tripp like?
Tell me more, tell me more. Just speak into the mic.
She kept the laundry. That's where it ends. Now she's one of Kenneth Starr's friends. Tried to make amends on TV. Forgot to take off the stupid tie that she gave me. What was I thinking? White House dreams ripped at the seams.
But oh,
those White House nights. Oh, buddy, not on my shoe.
Buddy, didn't Buddy get run over by a car? I think that's what happened to poor old Buddy. As long as we're talking about this day in history type stuff, this is one of my favorite stories back in 1992. All right, let me explain something here about radio stations' locations. Generally, they tend to be downtown in big office buildings and stuff like that. Notable exceptions, obviously Casey out on Watson Road, across from Crestwood Plaza. And back in the late 80s and early 90s, when we were on the classic rock station 93.7 KSD, that was out in Creve Coeur, just on the other side of the Monsanto plant to the north. And the reason why was because the first guy who owned that radio station wasn't from St. Louis, and so he was flying in and out of town all the time. So he wanted an office location that was close to the airport. And obviously right there at Lindbergh and Olive, you can be at the airport in, you know, 10 minutes. And that's what he wanted. So that's where he got the office space. And years later, the radio station was still operating out of that place right there across from the Red Cross. And at the time, many of you will recall Alan Barklage in the 93.7 Yellow Copter. And Alan was a goof, but he was our goof. And he was very good at what he did. And I'll tell you one thing. I flew with him many times. And I'll say this. If I was ever in a helicopter and it experienced some sort of engine loss, he would be the guy that I would want running the controls. Ironic that in an experimental helicopter that he built himself, a kit that was later discovered to have lots of problems with their engines that obviously did him in. Two tours in Vietnam and one of the most historic radio stories ever, certainly one of the most historic helicopter stories ever, in something that did sound like some sort of a TV series on Lifetime. A woman hired him back in the late 70s, hired him to take her on a tour, and he's flying her around, and She pulls out a gun, holds it to his head, and says, okay, we're doing a prison heist here. We're going to get my boyfriend out of prison. You're going to land in this prison yard. We're going to pick him up, and you're going to fly out. And Alan's thinking two things. Very, very unlikely we'd be successful at this. Those guys in those towers around prisons have long rifles, and they would shoot us. And then the other thing is, at least in the off chance that we are able to pull this off, you come flying out of there, the people in the back of the helicopter are going to shoot me because they don't want any witnesses and I will be of no use to them. So he wrestles the gun away from the woman, shoots her, loses control of the helicopter briefly, lands just outside the prison, is obviously terrified, traumatized, and as he jumps out of the helicopter, which has landed just outside of the prison gate, he starts running, and they were going to shoot him based on the suspicion of what he was up to. So I guess you would say he was very fortunate to come out of the whole thing alive, which he did. But there was this running feud going between Alan and, well, let me actually tell the story the way it should be told. There was a running feud going on between Don Miller, Captain Don Miller, who was the KMOX traffic guy, and pretty much everybody else in town. I think that Don Miller just thought that he should have the only traffic copter, and he was always doing stuff to pimp other traffic operations and helicopter pilots from other TV stations and other radio stations. He was a real prick that way. And he didn't like the idea that Alan was able to land the helicopter right behind the radio station in Creve Coeur, which is a bunch of, you know, office parks and some residential pretty close to it. And he thought that it was some sort of safety risk or something like that. Now, to be fair, Alan was supposed to contact the tower at Lambert International Airport every time he landed or took off. And sometimes that verification, that authorization would take a while. He'd be sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. And he knows there's a big multi-car pileup out on a highway somewhere that he's got to go cover and do the report on. And the tower at Lambert is taking a sweet time about giving him the authorization to do so. So every once in a while, Alan would just he would just take off anyhow, which is a big no-no. But you don't get anywhere in life without occasionally having to break a couple of rules. We've all done it in our personal lives and our professions. You got to break a rule every once in a while. So one day, Alan gets a notification from the FAA that he's got his license suspended for, 2 weeks or something for doing what I just described, taking off without authorization. Well, we knew who narked on him. We knew who ratted him out. So through the Freedom of Information Act, we got a copy of the petition to the FAA, and there at the bottom of it is Don Miller's name from KMOX, and we totally busted him. He always had denied having anything to do with it or having any knowledge of it, and we flat out busted him. His name was right on the paper that was sent to the FAA. One of my favorite stories happened on this date in 1992, but it gets even better than that, because in 1995, they contact me from Hollywood, and they're like, oh, we got this movie we'd like you to come out and see out in California. It's called Showgirls. Remember the little girl who used to be on Saved by the Bell? Actually, she was the tall girl and curly, long hair. Oh, yeah, I know who she is. Elizabeth Berkeley is her name. Well, she's in it, and it's about Vegas strippers, and I'm like, yes, I'll go. And they're like, and in the story, I'm like, yes, I'll go. The woman who her name is, yes, I'll go. Just forget all that stuff. I'll go. I'm no fool. I'm going to go see this. I knew it was going to be bad. And it was. But it was bad like on an epic level. And, you know, don't lie to me. You've seen Showgirls. And then the next day I'm interviewing Elizabeth Berkeley. And she's just sitting there with this shit-eating grin on her face. She is totally getting off on the idea that both men and women were coming into the interview room and were humming a humming a humming. And she was loving it. And she looked great, by the way. And she smelled fabulous. I still remember that. All that on this date in 1995. And Stephen Colbert took over for David Letterman on this date in 2005. You may recall that the first year of Colbert, there was big trouble. There was big trouble. In fact, the network guys were considering knocking Colbert out of his time slot, pushing him to the late, late CBS spot, and having James Corden come on at 10:35. They were really thinking about doing it. As Colbert tells the story these days, the show had not come around to a point where it found its voice. It found its voice eventually when a guy by the name of Donald Trump came along. But it was a rough first year for Colbert. They were almost going to kick him out of that slot. All that happening, by the way, on this date in, did I say 2005 and 2015? Sorry about that. I don't know. I took this job. They told me there would be no math. I like this story. Since Jackass debuted in the year 2000, the main cast has accrued an estimated $24 million worth of injuries. When you include the crew and other cast members, the total is closer to $38 million. Johnny Knoxville has accrued the most. One guy has had his back broken three times for a total of $2.7 million. Johnny's brain hemorrhage, $2.5 million. Steve-O's fractured skull, $1.75 million. Do not try this or anything at home. Another 9/11 special on ABC tonight, this one focusing on the women of 9/11. Late night, Pete Davidson on with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Drew Barrymore. Chris Wallace and Holland Taylor on with Colbert. Selena Gomez is on with Seth Meyers. Britney Spears, it appears, will be a free woman. The dad filed the paperwork to exit her conservatorship late last night. And two teasers for The Matrix Resurrections are online now. The full trailer is dropping tomorrow. Oh, one more movie thing. Morgan Freeman, Al Pacino, Helen Mirren, and Danny DeVito will star in a murder mystery that takes place at a retirement community. It's called Sniff. Birthdays today, Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Oh, stop it. The little kid on Home Improvement is 40 today? I didn't need to hear that. Pink, 42. MTV VJ, 49-year-old Kennedy, enjoying her birthday today. Martin Freeman from The Hobbit movies, 50. David Arquette, let Courtney Cox get away. Think about that for a minute. 50 today. Brooke Burke from Dancing with the Stars, 50. Amy Mann, lead singer of Till Tuesday, voices Carrie. She's 61 today. Bernie Sanders, as we mentioned, is 80. And it would have been the birthday of Benjamin Orr, bass player for the Cars. He co-founded the band with Rick Ocasek in 1976. And again, I stress the point that that is the correct pronunciation of his name. For years, we said Ocasek, and it turns out we were wrong all along. It's Ocasek. Anyhow, Ben Orr sang lead on many of the band's most recognizable songs, including Drive and Just What I Needed. It was the same thing that got Patrick Swayze that pancreatic cancer. That was the end for old Ben Orr. Star Trek, the TV show, debuted on this date in 1966, 55 years ago today. Pete Rose broke Ty Cobb's career record for hits on this date in 1985. Oprah went into syndication nationally for the very first time on this date 35 years ago. And she talked about that when I interviewed her for, what movie was it? Oh, Beloved. Terrible movie. Great interview.
Speaking of which, tell me why People Are Talking failed.
As a television show or syndication?
Either way.
You know, it was syndicated for like 3 minutes.
Well, I used to watch you. I lived in Gaithersburg, Maryland, so I used to watch you out of Baltimore.
Wasn't, the timing wasn't right, wasn't ready, wasn't pure. It wasn't the time. First of all, you are one of the few people in the world who knows this, that People Are Talking, I was syndicated for about, maybe 6 weeks or so on 13 or 14 stations and had the worst deal of all times. I mean, I was with Westinghouse at the time, and the deal was that if I got 50 stations, I could get $10,000 more. Hey, and right, if we got 100 stations, we would get $25,000 more.
Lunch is on Oprah.
So I'm like, whoa, can't wait to get those 100 stations because I'm going to get a $25,000 bonus. So when it was explained to me years later that we're going to go into syndication, you're going to make a lot of money, I said, yeah, right, because I've been syndicated and I know how that thing works.
Bad move trying to rip off Oprah. Bad move. She got the last laugh, so there. Ally McBeal, first episode of that TV series, 24 years ago today on Fox. They figure roughly 5 million people traveled on Labor Day weekend, and they're expecting a spike in coronavirus cases, a spike on top of a spike on top of a spike. That's a lot of spikes going on. And I will say this, it's nice to see men voicing their opposition to all this nonsense going on in Texas with the anti-abortion legislation. You know, I have three daughters. I have always said I just think it would be nice if they have control over their own bodies and their own health situations. There's going to be a big rally, a series of rallies, coast to coast, all major cities having these rallies against the Texas legislation coming up on October 2nd. You know, it's two big dates to remember. September 18th is the next demonstration, I guess you would say, by the insurrectionists. The January 6th crowd is going back to Washington a week from this Saturday. And then a couple of Saturdays after that, October 2nd is when they're going to... Is it a Saturday, in fact? Let me double check. Yes, Saturday, October 2nd is going to be the nationwide anti-Texas legislation deal. Been a long time since I've gone to a political rally, but I think I might go to that one. And as I said, it is nice to see men, not just women, men voicing their opposition to this whole thing. Now let's hear from the rest of you. Got to speak up. Got to speak up. And now to the frivolity, if in fact that is a word. Do you sleep in the buff? Well, there's a doctor on TikTok that would like you to know how disgusting you are. And he says no one in their right mind should be sleeping next to you. He says no one should sleep naked because of all the gas we pass in our sleep, which usually contains a small amount of fecal matter. So you think it's just gas. It's not. There's a small amount of poop involved in this too. He says the average person breaks wind 15 to 25 times a day. I've done that in an hour. And you also do it in the middle of the night when you're sleeping. So you end up slightly soiling your sheets every night, and it adds up. But clothing basically catches 100% of those particles. So as long as you're wearing some sort of shorts or something, your sheets should stay relatively clean. And in a new random survey on dog sleep, 41% of dog owners say their pet has been known to break wind while sleeping, and 75% say their dog will sometimes run in its sleep. Here is an unlikely victim of the pandemic: fax machines. They might be going away for good. Hospitals still use them for test results and medical records, but a lot of medical information hasn't been digitized, so doctors will still rely on paper records, and it's caused a huge bottleneck during COVID. So why do we still use them? Faxes can't be hacked. When you get a receipt that says they're delivered, so that's nice to have, and that's why hospitals and lawyers still use them. And until now, the mentality was, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the pandemic showed them the system is broken, so now there's a big push to finally move on from fax machines and to find a better solution. Another new poll found women are now more likely to control the remote and choose most of the shows couples watch. 67% of women say it's true. The average couple has two dust-ups a month over what to watch next. The average person spends 24 minutes a week deciding which shows to watch. A third of people say it's hard to decide what to watch because there are too many options. 36% have watched something they really didn't want to watch, but people were raving about it and they didn't want to miss out. The top things we look at before we watch something are the genre, the actors, and how long a movie or show it is. And just under half of us have taken so long to decide, we ended up turning off the TV and not watching anything. You'll be watching football starting tomorrow night, the first game, Cowboys and the Bucks. And a new report, by the way, there's possible heavy rain in Tampa tomorrow night. New report found a record number of Americans will gamble on games this season. The American Gaming Association says over 45 million Americans will bet on games in one way or another. That's almost one in five people who are old enough to gamble. Casual betting with friends is the most common way we do it, meaning things like betting $20 that your team will beat your friend's favorite team. Online betting is next, including bets made on illegal gambling sites. Those types of bets are expected to jump 73% this year. Fantasy football leagues and office pools are next, followed by bets at casinos. Placing bets with a bookie is a little less common. It also found 25% of Americans are more excited about this NFL season than usual. And the top teams gamblers are picking to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs, the Bucks, and the Cowboys. And here on the podcast, we don't get a lot of stories coming out of Edwardsville, Illinois, so that's why I'm doing this one. Three women in Illinois in Edwardsville stole a bunch of clothes from a sporting goods store on Saturday. They grabbed as many sweatsuits as they could carry and ran to the parking lot where their getaway car was. But the last one to the car had issues. The first two women jumped in the front seats and started the car, but the third lady couldn't get in because the back door was locked. Some guy who got it on video thinks they panicked and put the car in drive so the doors auto-locked, and that's why she couldn't get in. Now, as all of that was happening, a cop car pulled up, so the two women in the car floored it and left the third shoplifter behind. She dropped the sweatsuits and started running after the car, but the cop chased her down on foot before she made it out of the parking lot. She's facing charges for felony theft and also had an active warrant for previous theft charges. Last we heard, the cops were still looking for her two friends. Edwardsville, Illinois. Hello. All right, that's it. Another J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can. This one for Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. We post every weekday morning at 7, Monday through Friday. It's absolutely free. We archive all of our podcasts. They're also available on multiple platforms. Email me at jc@jconline.com. Facebook, The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a great day. Talk to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
J.C. Corcoran Podcast.